With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
He kona I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Kia ora and welcome to Elemental. I'm Professor Alan Blackman from the Auckland University of Technology, and in this RNZ podcast, we are indulging my passion for chemistry and for the periodic table.
And I'm Alison Ballance, and Alan, you're doing a great job exciting this chemistry novice about chemistry. So what have we got today, Professor?
Well, this is episode 61, and so that means that we are up to polonium today. And as we'll find out, there are two names that are inextricably linked with this radioactive metal, those names being Curie and Litvinenko.
Well, let's start with Curie, since their association with this well-known poison somewhat precedes the unfortunate Litvinenko, who became famous, one could say, for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
So, vital stats and the Curie connection, please.
Okay, vital statistics, elemental symbol PO, atomic number 84, and so that puts it down in the bottom right-hand side of the periodic table amongst the heavy metals. And I guess as we've alluded to already, polonium was first identified by Marie and Pierre Curie in 1898, and it was named polonium. And obviously that name comes from Poland, which was the home country of Marie Curie. And the name Poland actually comes from the Latin polonia.
Hmm.
And it's really kind of interesting to realise that at the time that the element was both discovered and named, Poland actually didn't exist, which we sort of think of these European countries as having existed forever. But sadly, Poland at that stage was carved up between Prussia, Russia and Austria. And in fact, it didn't become an independent country as it had been previously until 1918.
So that's a bit of a political statement then. My country may not exist, but it can damn well have an element named after it.
Yeah.
Now, when we did the curium and meitnerium episode way back when, celebrating those famous women chemists with elements named after them, we talked about pitchblende. So is polonium one of those elements that they found in pitchblende?
Yes, indeed it is. And it's in fact the first element that they discovered. Just to recap, pitchblende is a uranium ore, but does contain some other radioactive elements. They were a bit tentative. They were studying the pitchblende, and what they said was that they believed that they had found a heretofore unknown metal. And then they also found radium, which was actually isolated a few months later. Now, the reason that they were studying this pitchblende, this uranium ore, was that it was more radioactive than it should have been if there was only uranium in it. So, in fact, it was emitting around about four times as much radioactivity as it should have been if uranium was the only radioactive substance in there. So, lots and lots and lots of toil and hard work later, they basically came up with polonium and radium from this. Now, particularly with polonium, not everybody agreed with their discovery, and there was controversy about this for a few years. And in fact, it wasn't until 1910 that Marie Curie and André-Louis Debien identified it with certainty. And by that time, poor old Pierre, remember, got run over by a carriage in Paris, and he had died. But in 1911, Marie won the Nobel Prize for Chemistry for the discovery of polonium and radium.
So how common is polonium?
Well, the answer would be not very. If you're lucky, you will get sort of on average around about 100 micrograms per tonne of pitchblende. And in fact, the most polonium that's ever been isolated from a natural source was in fact 9 milligrams from 37 tonnes of ore. So you can see really there's not a heck of a lot of it in the Earth's crust. And so instead of isolating it naturally, nowadays, it's made in nuclear reactors, and the way that that is done is by bombarding a bismuth isotope with neutrons. Now, it is, no surprises here, extremely radioactive. And a nice little fact here that if you have a gram of the pure metal, which is not very much, it will self-heat to 500 degrees Celsius as a result of its radioactive decay. And so that tells you something about its radioactive decay being extremely energetic. And the type of decay that it undergoes is a thing called alpha decay. And that results in the emission of what is called an alpha particle. And these are made up of two protons and two neutrons. And so they get ejected from the nucleus, these alpha particles. And when an atom of polonium does this, it turns into an atom of lead and gives out lots and lots of energy. So these are very energetic particles, these alpha particles. And it's the latter, it's the energy that makes polonium dangerous, certainly when it's in contact with the human body. And just how dangerous? Well, it has been estimated that the maximum permissible mass of polonium in the body is around about 10 to the minus 12 grams.
10 to the minus 12.
A millionth of a millionth of a millionth of a gram.
It's probably just a few atoms.
Oh, no, it's not. No, it's not. Remember that first year chemistry story?
Okay.
So in fact, on a weight basis, it's around about a trillion times more toxic than hydrocyanic acid, or HCN, which is frightening, actually. And doubtless, it was because of this toxicity that a person or persons unknown decided to murder the Russian quote-unquote dissident journalist Alexander Litvinenko, and he ingested what was thought to be a milligram of polonium-210 in 2006 in a cup of tea. Now, obviously, if your maximum sort of safe mass is around about 10 to the minus 12 of a gram and you ingest a milligram, you're not really coming back from that, unfortunately.
You are in deep radioactive trouble.
Oh, yes. And, of course, polonium, so unlike milk, it's not the sort of stuff that you can whip down to the corner dairy to buy, really.
Mm.
So only governments are going to have their hands on this stuff. And, obviously, given its dangerous nature, you'd have to be highly trained to use it. So perhaps you can draw your own conclusions on that one.
Because the murder is still actually unsolved, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. Very interestingly, there was another case shortly after Litvinenko, in fact. It was thought that Yasser Arafat may well have also have been a victim of polonium poisoning. And his body was exhumed and samples were sort of sent all over the world to analyse for polonium. And apparently the French, the Swiss and the Brits said, yes, it was polonium poisoning. And the Russians said no.
Kill surprise. So is it actually used for anything other than killing dissident journalists and Palestinian politicians?
Well, the fact that it's so damn toxic makes it very good at those things, but doesn't really give it very many uses.
Didn't think so.
Yeah. It was once used, may still be possibly, as an anti-static material in textile mills. And so its radioactivity, in fact, causes the static electricity just to dissipate into the air so it doesn't sort of stick on surfaces and stuff. And so obviously in a textile mill, you don't want all those sort of threads and stuff charged up with static. So it was certainly used to do that. Anti-static brushes to remove dust from photographic film, things like that. So good old spacecraft, that seems to be the use of a lot of radioactive material. So it's been used as a heat source in spacecraft. And really interestingly, if you make an alloy of it with beryllium, this ends up giving off lots of neutrons. So you can use this as a portable neutron source. And in fact, sadly, this was the mixture that was used to trigger the first atomic bombs.
Well, all around, polonium is sounding like quite an unpleasant element.
Yes, and you're absolutely right. And there's really a sort of an ironic and rather tragic story. So Marie Curie's daughter, Irène Joliot-Curie, and she also was a Nobel Prize winner for chemistry. She won that in 1935. And some have thought that she may well have been a casualty of polonium as well. She was obviously working with radioactive compounds. And in 1946, there was a capsule of polonium that exploded in her laboratory. And some have thought that it was, in fact, this that led to her death from leukemia some 10 years later. Bit sad. And yes, all you smokers out there, if you need another reason to give up smoking, polonium-210 accumulates in tobacco plants. And as a result, cigarettes are actually quite high in polonium. Cigarette smoke exposes heavy smokers to the radiation equivalent of having 300 chest x-rays a year. That's Ooh. Nearly one a day, folks. And the alpha radiation from the polonium causes thousands of deaths a year.
Right. That's enough of a death toll for a single episode of Elemental. This has been an episode about an element that really has no redeeming features as far as I can tell. There are plenty more episodes with fewer deaths in them in our capacious audio archive stretching all the way back to the A's. And you can find all of them at rnz.co.nz/chemistry.
And they are also all on your favourite podcast app, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whichever you prefer to use. So thanks for your company today. We are back next time with potassium. But until then, it's goodbye from me, Alan Blackman.
And me, Alison Balance. Ma te wa.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.